We're going to be listening to a reading of a new play. I should say an excerpt of a reading of a new play. It's set in the near future, in the UK. The excerpt starts at the beginning of the play and goes through the first third. It's a play with four roles, although this excerpt is between three of the characters. So Sophie, our fourth actor, will be reading the stage directions. And that's all I really need to say, I think. Are you all comfortable, hopefully? Okay, let's start.
I'm playing Georg. I'm 31. I'm Lithuanian. I've got very good English, but a hint of Eastern European. I'm new money. I say hint. It's a bit sarcastic. flashy, apparently good looking, but again, that's down to personal preference. Stubbly, and I'm broad as well, so imagine.
I'm Dominic, 29, tall, wears glasses, good looking in a shabby Oxbridge sort of way, private school, upper middle class, liberal.
I'm reading Orna. She's 24 but looks younger. She's female, working class, Lithuanian with rough English, and she's pinned by Georg.
Okay. The action takes place roughly 30 to 40 years in the future. There has been large-scale flooding across the world, accompanied by other extreme weather and continual power shortages. Global food supplies are scarce after several ruined harvests, and a one-child policy has been enforced throughout Europe.
And so just to give you the title.
Eismas, which means traffic. A play by Hannah Nicklin. Act 1, Scene 1. A dark and damp basement room. A small amount of light creeps through a filthy, high, small window that opens onto a pavement. It is raining outside, and autumn leaves are stuck to the outside of the window. Stairs down into the room, from stage right, are rattly carpeted. The back wall of the room is taken up by a large, long mirror. Discarded objects are scattered around the room. A platform shoe, a bottle of vodka, feathers. A balding feather boa hangs from the end of the mirror, and fairy lights run around it. A lipstick and a couple of suspicious-looking empty tubes lie on a thin shelf underneath the mirror. The room is dark. We hear muffled footsteps, odd thumping sounds, a distant scream and shouting in Lithuanian. At the same time, a knock at the door. Footsteps go to answer it. It opens. As the footsteps move closer to the onstage room, we begin to hear voices.
Sorry, things are a little hectic this one. Please, throw here.
Here.
That is right.
Light spills down the steps, and we see Dominic framed in the door. A pause, and then he looks back as another muffled shout is heard.
Sutartinoi! I must please go down. Wait for me.
He leaves. Dominic stands for a second, then searches for a light switch. He turns on the lights. He walks down the stairs, looking around him. Dominic is soaked through, scruffily dressed in expensive but practical clothes, a knitted jumper over a creased shirt, cords, and an old bomber jacket. He wanders around a little, looking carefully. He walks up to the mirror. He doesn't meet his own eye. He picks up the lipstick.
Don't think the colour suits you, eh?
Dominic spins round and drops the lipstick as Georg walks down the stairs. Georg is oily looking, with a stubbly face and expensive flashy clothes. Dominic scrabbles on the floor to pick the lipstick up.
I'm sorry,
yeah, Don't worry. You care about Delovitske? Don't worry, it's the sign we have back home.
Ah. I'm sorry, Mr.
Call me Georg.